When the guys asked me what my perfect night would be, I told them the truth. Beer and board games. They thought I was kidding. I was not kidding.
Ladies and gentlemen, you know what that sound means. It means that it is episode 136 of the Personal Arrogance Podcast. As always, I am your host, Eric Walquist. Joining me, as always, is the other guy, the other host. His name is...
Jesse 12th Man Fan.
12thmanfan.com.
.com Wilson.
There you go.
Russell Wilson.
Russell... 12thmanfan.com Russell Wilson. Jesse.
That is my new domain name.
All right, so speaking of that, and we got some listener feedback this week that they want us to talk about it. I'm going to go right into the dedo this week. My dedication this week is to the newest member of the Seattle Seahawks, none other than, or not really the newest, the second newest, Percy Harvin, is my dedo this week. Jesse, do we have a dual dedo?
Well, I'm not surprised you said that, right. But yours is the wrong answer.
Oh, okay.
Because as excited as I am for Percy.
Uh-huh.
He basically bumped my favorite player off the team. So the correct dedication is to number 33, Leon Washington. He's been my favorite Seahawk ever since. I basically watched him single-handedly win a game, against the San Diego Chargers by himself.
Yeah.
Which is redundant because I already said single-handedly. He probably used both hands.
Yeah. But, and both feet.
and both feet. But,
he double-footedly won.
He kind of got bumped for the new guy, and I'm a little bummed out.
Yeah, I wanted to talk to you about that, because that is your favorite player, man. He's no longer a Seahawk.
I know.
Leon Seattle Washington.
He lives on in my heart.
Yep.
And I think he should be in the Ring of Honor.
Okay. You know, it is sad, because he when you have somebody, I think that just shows how good of a player Percy Harvin is.
Right.
To replace... one of your Pro Bowlers from last year. Leon Washington is one of the top two, I would say, kick returners in the entire NFL. Mm-hmm. And he's off your team because Percy Harvin is now on your team. So it shows the explosive nature. And dude, the whole thing with this, and we also signed Cliff Avril, who is the top defensive end on the market. The whole message that this is sending to the league is that Seattle is planning to win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, we're going for it this year.
This is something that I've never felt before. Like, not even after the Mariners had their 116-win season or, you know, after the Sonics lost to the Bulls in the 96 finals. I've never had this expectation before. Mm-hmm. But if the Seahawks don't win the Super Bowl this year, I will be disappointed.
Yeah, it would be a pretty colossal falling out. The thing is, I mean, who else is poised to make a big Super Bowl run?
Well, you got it. So right
San
now,
Francisco.
Right now in Vegas, both the Seahawks and the 49ers are tied.
Yeah,
for best
5
odds,
to 1 or something.
5-1 to win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, it's going to be a real rivalry. Those two games are going to be fun to watch.
Almost overnight, Seahawks 49ers has become the best rivalry in the NFL.
Yeah, you can guarantee one of those are going to be Monday night.
Yeah, probably one's Monday night and the other one's Sunday night.
Yeah.
That's the other thing I love about this is that I like watching the Seahawks at night. I think I'm going to get that opportunity multiple times this season.
Mm-hmm.
So.
I like watching. I don't know. I like watching in the day.
Well, I just love the national. You know, Seattle's a place that doesn't get a lot of national exposure sports wise.
That's true.
It's just fun to see, like, the blimp over the waterfront and, like, watching the ferries go in. And listening to every time the commentators are like, oh my God, I had to travel so far to get here.
Most isolated team in the league. Yeah, absolutely. I love, take a shot every time they cut to the Pike Place Market fish throwers.
Yeah. Yeah. We need to put that together for when the Seahawks are in a national game is the Seahawks, national game drinking game. We'll work on the name.
No, it's good. Yeah. Anyway, so. Yeah. Double Dedo, Harvin, Washington.
I think that's great. That's two sides of the coin.
Yeah.
Past and the future. Now, this is exactly. The other thing. I know we're getting really Seahawks nerdy here, but who cares? This is our podcast.
Thank you.
But the thing is that when Pete Carroll came here, he brought this winning mentality that I think a lot of people didn't think he would bring, because he's had his chances to coach in the NFL before. Mm-hmm. And each time it was pretty much a failure. I think he took one team to the playoffs. But then he went to the USC, and USC had the mentality that every single year, if they didn't win the national championship, it was a disappointment.
Right.
And that was their mentality every single year. And I think when he came back to the NFL, when he got his shot again in the NFL, he said, I'm going to have a team, and I have the ownership here with Paul Allen, that I can build my team that we will expect to win the Super Bowl every year. And I think, hopefully, this is the beginning of a dynasty. I may be eating my words, but that is my expectation. I want the Seahawks to win the Super Bowl this year. If they don't, I'm disappointed.
Yeah, it's pretty exciting stuff. I cannot wait for NFL season.
I know. And they're playing in Indy this year, and I'm circling that game. I really want to go out to Indy and watch them at Lucas Oil Stadium.
Yeah, I'm excited to find out when that is, if it'll be compatible with my schedule.
Yeah. All right. Anyway, we got other stuff to get into.
Yeah.
What are you drinking this week, Jesse?
I'm actually drinking the Big Wave Golden Ale from Kona Brewing Company.
Mm-hmm.
I'm staying at my mom's house this week.
Oh, really? You're in B-Town?
Yes, I am in B-Town.
Okay.
And I'll get into that a little bit later. Okay. But, this is something that she bought. I probably wouldn't have picked it up, but it's actually really good. It's pretty dry. It warms up a little bit. You get really good, flavor hops and aroma coming from it. So I would actually definitely recommend this. It's one of the better offerings from Kona that I've had.
Yeah. And Kona's an interesting brewing company because they're headquartered in Kona, which is on the Big Island in Hawaii, but they brew up here in Redmond, or
Woodinville. Yeah, any bottle Kona that you have in the mainland U.S. is brewed in Woodinville.
At the Red Hook Brewery?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, speaking of which, I'm drinking the Red Hook Spring Seasonal Mudslinger Brown Ale.
Oh, Craft Brewers Alliance.
Yeah, buddy. It's a serviceable brown ale. I like it. There's nothing offensive about it. That's the thing about brown ales is that they're very, like, just straight up drinkable.
Yeah.
It's like, we're going to give you just a little bit of what you want in every realm.
Yeah, throw in some nice hops, nice malt, but dry it out, make it drinkable, don't make it super heavy, and balance it with your hops.
Exactly. It's basically the kind of the even keel of the beers. And this is what, you know, this falls right in line with that. Very, very drinkable. I enjoy it. You know, it's spring seasonals. They're not always my favorite, but you know, brown ales are great.
Wow. 2 middle fingers up from both of us, I think, for Craft Brewers Alliance.
There you go. CBA. DBA. I don't know what that means. So let's get to some listener feedback this week. We got a couple of phone calls, and we love getting phone calls, guys. You can always... You know, you can always give us a call, 360-362-0024. Put it in your phone. Label it as drunk dial if you want, or label it as therapist, or label it as best friend if you need that. And just call us whenever you want. We love getting phone calls from you guys. It really does brighten my week, honestly, when we get phone calls.
Yeah, I really enjoy getting phone calls.
And we're going coast to coast this week, but we're going to start on the East Coast. And it's once again from the 207. Here we go.
Hey, what's up, guys? This is Josh from Maine calling from the 207, the only state with one syllable and one area code. So anyway, I'm not offended that Jesse said that I was adopted, because I'm not. Actually, my grandfather was adopted on my father's side. He was an orphan. So anyway, don't call me Mario, because I ain't a little Italian. Anyway, I want to congratulate you guys on Percy Harvin, the newest member of the Seattle Seahawks. And let's see. You know what? Going back on my mother's side, I'm a direct descendant of Roger Williams. He founded what state? You can answer that later. Anyway, to my point. Last week, you talked about caffeine and energy drinks. I like Monster Energy Drink. In fact, kind of it's hooked on it. I'm trying to get off it right now. Did you know that Dunkin' Donuts coffee actually has more caffeine per 12 ounces than Monster or Red Bull? Check it out. What I'll do is I'll put a link on your website, and you can discuss how bad some of these coffees are for you. Anyway, That's it. So for the rest of the day, no. For the rest of the week, I'm going to get and stay arrogant.
Thank you.
Get off my back.
Yeah, get off my back. So, Perigo, there's a couple things. So first, Roger White. Did he say Roger White?
I think he said Roger Dotsy.
I thought he said Walter White.
Oh, yeah. New Mexico.
Yeah, definitely New Mexico. And secondly, so, you know, caffeine is one thing.
Right.
But that caffeine from coffee is basically through a natural process.
Yeah, it's just water that touched some beans.
Right. I'm just saying, and I'm not saying, you know, caffeine is one thing. So you can look at caffeine rates and you could say, yes, this drink has more caffeine than this drink. But when you look at pure chemical content.
Mm-hmm. And just sugar.
Right. Tons of sugar. And depending, you know, if you're Dunkin' Donuts, you might want to put tons of sugar in your coffee. I don't know. yeah, you got sugar, you got, and there's also been studies that show what these energy drinks do to your kidneys. Don't get me wrong. I said on last week's show, I really do enjoy the taste of Red Bull. I also drank Rockstar all through college. I actually felt like I might have been addicted to it at one point. I'm not saying that these aren't delicious, and I'm not saying that they do have interesting effects. But I am saying that they probably have a little more unnatural ingredients than a cup of coffee.
Yeah, I agree. I also think that a cup of coffee, well, black coffee is zero calorie.
Oh.
I think. I'm pretty sure if you don't put a cream or sugar in there, there's no calories in it. It's just water that touched beans.
Uh-huh.
So, one, that's good. Two, coffee, and I'm a big coffee proponent. I love it. Classic Washingtonian. But coffee has what I call the poop factor.
It does.
And I don't think Monster has that. And that's a good thing about coffee, because it tells your body to stop, or it tells your body to flush and your toilet to flush.
Yeah.
It cleans you out, whereas I feel like Monster, a lot is coming in when you're drinking a Monster and not necessarily getting flushed out the way that coffee flushes you out.
You know, that is the interesting thing, and I'm sorry for getting graphic here, people, but when I was in my Rockstar phase drinking a lot of Rockstar, my pee was very interesting colors.
Yeah, Monster turns your pee like bright yellow.
Neon.
Yeah,
and that's not good. I didn't have a black light handy, but I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah.
Regardless, Josh, thank you so much for calling in. We love the 207. I didn't know that Maine was the only state that had one syllable. But here in Washington, we got plenty. So,
we got syllables to spare.
If you need an extra one, just let us know.
We can give you an R. A lot of people try to cram an right. R into Washington and call it Washington.
Washington.
So maybe Marn?
Yeah, Marn.
Marn.
Marn. I love it. So we're going to go from Marn all the way to California for our second call this week. And here it goes.
Hey, guys. This is James from Orange County calling back. I just wanted to let you know, last week I was kind of having a rough week. But the moment I saw that last week's Personal Arrogance podcast was up and ready to download, it totally made my week. I was so happy. So thanks for all your hard work, guys. I really appreciate it. In listening to last week's episode, I just had all these themes that I wanted to talk about. First of all, I think that the perpetual online gaming really sucks. I am a big fan of Age of Empires. Gaming franchise, and the most recent installment was this Age of Empires Online, and not only did they make the graphics very cartoony, which I did not like, but the fact that you have to be connected online the whole time just really put a downer on things, and I really hate it. And another thing, one final note. You guys talked about all this hate for the Dark Knight Rises. I think it's totally unjustified. As fanboys, and I think as a community or as a society as a whole, online commentary has gotten way out of control. It's either 0 out of 10, I hate it, or 10 out of 10, I love it. And people don't take the time or the effort to really think about a movie they see or a game they play. It's just heat of the moment reaction. So I think that's a big problem. I don't know how to resolve it, but thank you so much, guys. And the weather down here in Orange County is beautiful. I hope it's nice up there in Seattle. Take care and stay arrogant.
You stay arrogant, James. Thank you so much for calling.
Get off my back.
Get off my back. And that was very sweet.
Yeah, that's heartwarming.
It was very heartwarming. That was like one of the nicest reviews we've ever gotten.
Yeah.
So thank you so much, James. And yeah, you know, there's a couple things. I thought it was interesting. I saw a post on Our Gaming today where somebody was like, just spent a fortune on a new PC, play a 12-year-old game.
Yeah.
Show them playing Age of Empires. Because there are certain things, and I think that's why we were so disappointed in The Sims, or in, not The Sims, but in SimCity. Because mm-hmm. that's a game that everyone loves. And for EA to screw it up so royally, it just shows that they have no reverence for these titles. And that, and then they've also put out, they put on their Twitter account that saying, you know, we've explored the idea of offline play, but that's not something that we're committed to do yet, to resolve this issue. It's like, why not? Yeah. Why are you a company that is blatantly ignoring what your customers want?
Like, that's good. That's good business.
Great business. It's weird to me. It's like, if you want people to, if you made it offline play today, people would start buying the game again. You know?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I feel like they've tarnished their reputation so much over a sustained barrage of offensives over the last few years. Like, I don't think I'm ever going to buy an EA game again unless they have a total turnaround in their company structure.
It's just bad, man. They just haven't wanted to play nice. Like, when I remember when Steam first came out and they didn't want to be on Steam.
Uh-huh. Well, and they still have their own, like, distribution thing that I hear is just impossible to use.
It's terrible.
I've never even attempted it. Again, I just don't want to give my money to EA.
Yeah, I think it's a good call. So there's this new box. It's called the Ouya, O-U-Y-A. And what it is they had like a really successful Kickstarter campaign for it. It's a console, but it's Android based. And the whole idea behind this is to kind of rip away the power from these three major console brands. Now, don't get me wrong. Like, you know, we love our Xboxes and we love our PS3s. But it's kind of great to have this refreshing console that is separate from all that. All the games on the Ouya are Android based, which means that anybody can develop for it. You don't have to have special code in order to get it onto a 360. You don't have to have the blessing of the console in order to get onto the platform.
That's a really cool idea. Remember at PAX last time we went to the Kickstarter room, and there's this guy that made his own like Nintendo DS game about the diamond trade.
Yeah.
And he was telling us the nightmare of getting it on DS cartridges, and he had to jump through all these huge hoops, raise all this money, do all this stuff, and then the game wasn't even sold in stores.
Right. Yeah.
It was just for him to self-distribute on their hardware. It was crazy.
Something like $16,000 or something to even get his foot in the door.
Yeah.
Like, and then all of the cartridges for a Nintendo DS are manufactured in the same place. So that is your monopoly right there. You can't get in unless you can get your game manufactured in this factory.
Yeah.
And which means that they have to approve all of the labeling and all, like, it's just a nightmare.
It's the Diamond Trust of London, by the way.
Yeah, and they wouldn't approve their cover.
Uh-huh.
Like, because it has music featuring an artist that he found, and he wanted to feature that artist on the cover of the game, and they said, well, you can't do that because you can only have the publisher name on the cover of the game. And so he's like, all right, my publisher name is, it was his name.
Yeah, Diamond Trust of London with music by blah, blah, blah.
Right. It was like, that's the full title of the game then. So anyway, this is Ouya. It's $99 if you want to get one. They're not shipping yet, but they're shipping soon. I think they're shipping in April or something. $99 gets you the console and a controller. And then, I think other controllers are $50. Which is pretty standard, but I mean, getting the console and the controller for $50, and then every game that's on the platform is, automatically, you can try out any game before you buy it. Every single game. There's a free demo before you buy it. And, it has over 450 launch titles, I think. So, yeah, Ouya. Ouya, baby. It's taking the reins off of these crazies like EA and actually putting it back, putting the power back in the hands of the consumer.
Mm-hmm.
So, there are alternatives out there.
Yeah, that's pretty neat.
Anyway, my soapbox
is... Or there's console gaming.
Yeah, there's always... Yeah.
Or computer. PC gaming.
Right. But who wants to do that, right?
I'm really starting to look at it.
All right, let's do a little Tiny Matt roll-off and get... Oh, wait, before... Oh, shit. I forgot. We have an email from Germany.
Oh, do we?
Yes, we do.
I didn't see this one.
So every time, Dennis, that you send us an email instead of sending us a voicemail, I am going to read it with a German accent. Here we go. Guten Abend, guys. Let me start this little introduction. My father told me, when I was 5 or so, a very special kind of bedtime story about an enchanted remote control, which could beam me into a movie of my choice. I fought the Empire, searched for the Holy Grail, and was the rookie at the Ghostbusters headquarters. Now, to my challenge for you. Each of you could choose two different movie scenarios that you would be, that you would like to experience an adventure in. And please tell us why you have chosen it. Have fun. Oh, and something about the new Pope or so. Have a good, nice week. And bis dann, Dennis.
Nice.
Thank you. All right. So, Jesse, you can beam yourself into two movies. What adventures do you want to be a part of? Now, this is tough. Like, can you die?
If you die in the movie, you die in real life.
Yeah, it's The Matrix. Well, that's the whole thing. Like, it's all contingent on whether you can die or not. Because, like, I'd love to be a part of Attack the Block. I'd like to be in the Attack the Block crew. But I could get my head ripped off by an alien. So, I don't know. And, like, Shaun of the Dead is the same thing. So, I'm going to play it safe.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say, I think that, well, fuck it. I'll do Hot Fuzz just because I want to live in a nice British countryside villa.
Okay.
That would be nice.
I'm going to do for my first pick Blues Brothers.
Oh yeah.
Everyone's basically invulnerable in that
That's
movie.
True.
And there's a lot of driving like old Cadillacs super fast through the inner city.
Yep.
And, like, firing machine guns recklessly.
Right.
Plus good music. Getting drunk at the Western bar would be fun. And throwing beers at the cage.
Yeah.
So I'm in that one.
That's awesome.
I'd be the roadie, I guess.
Well, dovetailing off of that. No, you'd be a new Blues Brother. I don't know. Maybe it doesn't work in that one.
No, I wouldn't want to be a Blues Brother. Maybe in the band.
Okay. Yeah, in the band. That would be good. You could be the sax player.
Yeah.
Tenor sax, baby. Well, you know, I'm just going to steal yours, and I could be in the Blues Brothers if I was in Blues Brothers 2000. So I'm going to snag that one.
Yeah, I don't know if that's a good answer.
It's a great answer because, no, you don't have Jim Belushi, but you do have John Goodman, and I love me some John Goodman. And I guess, but then you're hanging out with Dan Aykroyd in his weird phase. This is like post Dan Aykroyd on UFOs.
My second answer is Dan Aykroyd unplugged on UFOs. Just hanging out, chain smoking, talking about aliens, Dan Aykroyd.
Yeah. Why not?
I found that DVD while I was cleaning out my old stuff from my parents' house.
It's on Netflix now.
Oh!
It's on Netflix, watch instantly. All right. Well, Jesse, I don't think we need to do a Facebook poll on this one. You obviously won. but just to recap, Eric, Hot Fuzz and Blues Brothers 2000. Jesse, Blues Brothers and Dan Aykroyd unplugged on UFOs.
Dan Aykroyd heavy suggestions.
Yeah, very heavy.
He's even in Ghostbusters.
Oh, man. Did you see him on SNL this week? He is very heavy.
Oh, no, I didn't see that.
Bing, bang, boom.
You're getting too big.
You're getting too big. anyway, let's do a little tiny bat roll off.
Jeez, we haven't started this podcast.
No, I guess not. All right, let's see. We're just going to roll 20-sided dice, see who gets to talk first on the cast.
I rolled a 17.
I rolled a 1.
Whoa.
King of the cast, baby.
I'm king of the cast, and I'm going to be a merciful king and defer to you for top spot.
Well, thank you, Jesse. That was very nice of you and very kingly of you. So this week, I'm going to talk about something I read on Reddit.
Tusked whales, narwhals, the unicorns of the sea.
Extra, extra, Reddit on Reddit, Reddit on Reddit.
And that's the way it is.
This was a thread that I found on Ask Reddit. And usually Ask Reddit, it's usually the same question that's been asked a million times. But this one really got me intrigued. And the question is, if the U.S. were a high school, which type of kid would each state or city be?
I saw this one.
I thought it was really fun.
Mm-hmm.
So the top answer is Rhode Island is the really short kid that people forget about and ask, hey, are you a freshman? But even though he's a senior. And I feel like the person who wrote this hasn't been to Rhode Island.
Yeah, the Rhode Island I saw was making a big statement.
Yeah.
And that was, look how big of a piece of crap I can be.
Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, Rhode Island is like the kid who, like...
It's a rich kid that is, like, really acting out to get attention.
See, I'm not even sure if he's rich. Like, what I was thinking is, like, Rhode Island is the kid that, like, nobody wants to hang around. But for some reason, he, like...
It's constantly invited.
Constantly invited to parties. Mm-hmm. We're just offending everyone in Rhode Island right now.
God.
He has the hookup on all the drugs. He's, like, basically the middleman. He's, like, the guy in Fast Times at Ridgemont High with, like, the slick back hair.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm talking about? It's, like... He's like the guy that like nobody really wants to be friends with, but everybody has a connection to him because he's got the hookup on something.
Yeah.
But yeah, when we were there, we were hanging out next to Brown University. So
yeah.
There were the hoity-toities. I like to think of like New England as like they're like a family. So he's in the New England family, but he's like the cousin.
They're a family that lives too many people in the family and too small of a house.
Right.
They're all crammed in there together.
They're all crammed in there, and he's the one who's, you know, he's the one who's the cousin. He's not actually in the family, but he's, like, living with the family.
Yeah, yeah, he ran away.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, this one's up next. It says, Maine would be the kid everyone forgets about as soon as graduation rolls around.
Hmm. I don't feel like Maine's a super forgettable state.
I don't think it is either.
It's up there. It's an oven mitt.
It's right. It's a total oven mitt. It's a baseball mitt.
Uh huh.
It's home to the Perigos.
Yeah, it's trying to grab the fly ball that is England.
And I think that technically isn't Maine in New England, or am I off here?
I don't think Maine is considered New England.
Okay. So what's New England? New England's Massachusetts?
No, I mean it's catching England, England.
Oh, there you go.
Flying across the Atlantic.
I got it.
It just got knocked by the club of Europe.
I feel like Maine is in New England. I thought New England is like everything north of Massachusetts.
If only there were some way to find out.
There's no way to find out. Yes, it is. Okay, so apparently New England is Connecticut, Rhode Island, Massachusetts, Vermont, New Hampshire, and Maine.
Well, I'm glad that we cleared that up because we would have gotten an email.
We totally would have gotten an email.
From the 207.
Yeah.
207.
From the 207. So if Maine's in the New England family, so obviously Massachusetts is the loudest kid. He's the most popular kid in the New England family.
Mm-hmm.
Then you got Connecticut. He's the rich kid. He wears the boat shoes and the chinos and the sweater vest.
Mm-hmm.
Then you got Vermont. Vermont is the hippie kid.
Yeah. Makes good food.
Right.
Kind of quiet.
New Hampshire? I guess New Hampshire's, I heard of This American Life about New Hampshire. I guess they're, like, really polite.
Really?
Yeah, apparently they're, like, the most polite state.
So, he's the Canadian exchange student?
Exactly. And then, finally, you got Maine. I think, when I think Maine, I think, like, the Canada of New England. I'm thinking, like, like, you know, duck boots and flannel coats, and you might have a garage band. You might have.
Sounds like an all right place to me.
You might have a maple syrup farm.
Uh huh.
You keep to yourself. You keep to yourself in Maine.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah,
so he lives above the garage.
So I guess Maine is you, Jesse. I think you're the Maine. You're the Maine student.
If you replace maple syrup with beer,
exactly.
There you go. I'll take that.
All right. Back to the thread. All right, we got Vermont, artsy kid whose parents own a kale farm. Yeah, that's with the hippie. We already got that. Montana is the massive kid on the football team who looks scary but is actually nice. I really like that description.
I like that. I've never been to Montana, but I'd really like to.
You've never been to Montana?
No.
Montana.
I've never been to Idaho either.
Dude, you would love Montana.
I feel like I would.
It is beautiful. And it's like Glacier National Park. Yellowstone's, West Yellowstone's in Montana.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's God's country, dude. It's like Big Sky World.
Yeah, Tosh and I were thinking of going out there sometime soon.
Yeah, that'd be great. It's a really good place to go, especially from here, because it's like just far enough where you're far away, but you can still get home.
Right. Would you drive or fly?
You could drive. I think it's 12 hours to Helena, so you could spend the night in Spokane.
Mm. Also, among the places I've never been.
Well, there you go. Let's make it an all new place.
Yeah.
I like New Mexico is a nice kid who has all of the scary friends in the gang.
is that a person in the school?
I don't know. Hawaii is a kid who never wears shoes. Alaska is the fat kid with a beard who wears flannel and gets A's in shop class.
Yeah, that's my favorite.
I like that too because somebody posted a picture of let's see, Tim the Tillman Taylor and who's this? Al Bundy.
No.
Not Al Bundy. What was his last name? Al?
I don't know.
He said it in every show. If only there was a way to find out. But I like this idea of building the football team. Because you have Montana, so he's obviously in the football team. He's your O-lineman. And I think we can all agree that Texas is the quarterback.
Yeah, it seems to be the consensus on the internet. Yeah. Although I feel like he would be kind of overrated.
Yeah, that's the thing. He's the quarterback and he's really cocky, but he's not like Allstate.
Yeah, exactly.
Although technically he is Allstate, I suppose.
Nice.
But who else is on the football team?
Like
I feel like all those wind tunnel states are in there. So you got North Dakota, South Dakota, Nebraska, Oklahoma, and Kansas. Like, that's straight up all football team.
Mm-hmm. Mississippi, Alabama are on the line somewhere.
No, I think Mississippi, Alabama are your wide receivers.
A little chubby for that.
Oh, I don't know. But, like, think about Alabama football, man.
No,
like,
perfect wide receiver is Maine. It's already reaching up.
It's got the glove.
It's calling for you. Oh. Kick return guys, Hawaii.
Al Borland.
Mm, of course.
Kickoff turn could be Florida as well.
Yeah, that's true.
I feel like anywhere, like all SEC states, so Tennessee, Georgia, Alabama, Mississippi, Louisiana, and Florida, those guys are all on the football team too. They may not be their main focus, but that's where they're at. And then all the guys up in the Rust Belt, those are your basketball players.
Uh-huh.
So like we got Ohio, Indiana, Illinois, you know, those guys.
I think Oregon would be a punter.
I think Oregon's not on the team. So I think that brings us to our logical conclusion, which is the Pacific Northwest.
Mm-hmm.
So there was somebody on here, and it got quite a few upvotes of what Washington would be, but I also thought it was a little bit of a, like, the guy who wrote it was definitely from Washington.
What was it?
Washington would be that awesome kid who's cool enough to roll with the cool kids, but not cool enough, but not too cool to hang out with the weird kids.
Mm.
Which is, come on.
Like, yeah, I don't know. I think maybe he is one of the weird kids who doesn't think he's a weird kid.
Exactly. He's the nerd who doesn't think he's the nerd. That's me.
Washington's weird when you get a little bit outside of Seattle.
It's super weird.
It's weird.
It's really weird.
I mean, I have two members of my family who are professional gooey duck farmers.
And that's, like, that's the crazy thing about Washington is that it's so split down the middle.
Yeah.
Like, Washington has a twin brother who's completely different than him.
Called Eastern Washington.
Called Eastern Washington.
Conjoined twin.
Yeah, he's the, they're conjoined twins. He's, Washington is...
One's an atheist, pot-smoking hippie, and right. one's, like, one's, a super Christian, purity yeah. ring wearing
apple
farmer conservative.
Yeah. Like, that's, this is the dichotomy. I think that's perfect. Washington is definitely a conjoined twin. Washington is like the eastern side is very resentful of the western side because the western side gets all the chicks. But, you know, the eastern side's doing its thing. The eastern side loves beer. The western side loves pot. And it's legal. But it's really
come on, the western side loves beer too.
Yeah, that's true. But the western side loves craft beer and the eastern side loves Rainier.
Yeah.
That's great. And then so what do we got for Oregon? Because I think Oregon is the final on here. I mean,
that's a good question.
I think Oregon's hanging out with Vermont.
Oregon's like Oregon's definitely hanging out with Vermont.
Vermont, he's, Colorado.
He's in a band.
Yep.
Like trying to make it big. He's been on the college radio station a few times, yep. So that's kind of the claim to fame, but you know he's never going to get signed to a real label.
I love this on the thread. They basically just say, Oregon is that white dude with dreadlocks.
Yeah, basically what I just
basically
described.
That. Oh, also Utah's definitely on the football team.
Oh, for sure.
All right, well that's...
Utah would be the more talented backup quarterback.
Yep.
That you find out mid-season after the main quarterback gets injured.
Right. Throws out his shoulder.
Yeah. Wins like the next five out of six games after that.
Exactly. But then once Texas is back, once he's back to full strength, he's back to starting quarterback.
Yeah.
Anyway, we do have listeners in Texas. I don't know if what we're saying is offensive or not, but whatever.
I don't know.
I have no idea what any of this means. Anyway, so that's our take on the 50 states. Please let us know what your take is. Send us an email, personalarrogance@gmail.com, or leave us a voicemail, 360-362-0024. Jesse, what's your first topic?
So, for my first topic, I'm going to talk about television.
Do you know what nemesis means?
As I mentioned, I'm staying at my parents' house this week.
Right.
And my parents have cable.
I know.
Which I'm not used to.
I know.
So I've been indulging. I've been watching this new show, Pretty Big Shoe.
Pretty Big Shoe.
And it's become a total guilty pleasure. It's a spy show, and it's called Bar Rescue.
Oh.
Are you familiar with this?
I am not familiar. I don't have cable either, man.
Right. I know, but you never know.
You never know.
Maybe you've been hanging out. Anyway,
if I owned a bar, I would watch it at the bar. It would
right.
be on. It would be on at the bar.
So it's basically nightmare kitchens. You know that Gordon Ramsay show.
Yeah, there's like nightmare hotels now too.
Yeah, So the premise is there's a struggling bar that applies to be on the show. The specialist comes in, he does like a little recon thing and sends in someone to check it out. And then, afterwards he comes in, confronts everyone, takes a look at the place, figures out what's wrong and tries to figure out how to solve it. And then like relaunches it, rebrands the place, relaunches it, and hopefully it'll become a successful bar after that.
What bar is like not doing well?
Oh, according to this show, last year there were like 3,000 bars in the U.S. that closed.
Ugh. Apparently they weren't in Seattle.
Yeah. Yeah, no. But I mean,
I've never seen a bar close in Seattle.
I know. The four B's in Ballard went without water for like a week. They had no running water. And they're still okay.
Yeah. They're better than ever.
Yeah. But like some of these bars are really bad. And like there's one episode where this bar was an Irish bar that like had totally confused message, and they're like trying to sell margaritas and stuff, and they were $900,000 in debt.
Wow.
Which is a lot of dollars.
Yep.
And another one, which was in Austin, called Headhunters, where there was literally cockroaches in the liquor bottles.
Wow.
Yeah, so like he took the liquor bottles off the shelf and poured them through a rag into a pint glass, and there were like 20 cockroach corpses
God. And were they selling that shit?
Yeah, they tried to sell it to him when he came in to order a drink.
What?
Yeah. And,
well, apparently there are cockroaches everywhere. Cockroaches and cicadas. That's Austin.
Yeah, well, that's what you're drinking. But it's a really good show. I like it a lot. I feel like it might be a little bit of the extreme home makeover syndrome where they're just like, all right, we fixed your problem. And they edit it to make it sound like a happy ending and then leave. And then,
Do they have any follow up?
They'll do like 4 to 8 weeks later, but just in text, you know, like sales have increased 25% or something like that.
Now they're only $800,000 a day.
Yeah, I know. But, yeah, I've really been enjoying that, and it's made me think a lot about bar ownership, and I want to think maybe you and I could spitball some ideas bars. I want to know like what your ideal bars are like. What are some things you look for in bars, and kind of what are some things you would implement if you owned a bar?
Well, Jesse, I think we've been to the perfect bar. I've been to the perfect bar. Unfortunately,
been to the mountain.
No one can go there anymore. It's a mystical land.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. Well, see, this is one of the bars that closed down that we're talking
about. Yeah, but like, how? Like,
tax evasion is how.
I guess tax evasion is the way. But of course I'm talking about the Maple Leaf Tavern in Bremerton.
Yeah, this hasn't come up on the podcast in a while.
It hasn't. I think we need to repaint the picture. Jesse, can you start off? What is the Maple Leaf Tavern?
Well, the Maple Leaf is kind of a legendary dive bar in Bremerton, Washington, the town that Eric and I sort of hail from.
Right. Not even sort of. We actually hail from there.
Well, Brownsville, Tracyton.
Well.
Anyway, we're getting pretty deep here in the Kitsap Peninsula geography. If you looked at it from the outside, it would look like a one-room shack.
It looks like a house.
It looks like a house, and it looks like a one-bedroom house.
It looks like a condemned one-bedroom house.
Yeah, with sagging roofs and broken windows, but then you walk in.
Cinder block foundation. So you walk in, and the reason why they call it the Maple Leaf Tavern is because apparently it was built on the stumps of maple trees. But nobody ripped the stumps out of the ground, so whatever growth that was still in those craggly old stumps is now reaching through the floorboards. And the 2x4s that make up the floor are uneven and have sticks poking through them.
Yeah.
You walk through, it doesn't matter what time of year it is, they're showing a Mariners game. Could be the middle of November and they have some Mariners game up.
Not true. Sometimes they play the military channel.
That's true.
Have black and white footage of planes during World War II.
Exactly.
Dogfights.
Yeah. They only serve beer in cans, really. They might have one beer on tap. The people on the bar stools have been there for 40 years. They're basically museum pieces. There is one booth. I do love that you walk in and directly to your left, there is a, just a regular coffee machine. just a regular coffee machine. That was probably just picked up at Goodwill or something. and then there's hot dogs.
Self-service hot dogs.
Self-serve hot dogs, 25 cents. Can't beat that anywhere. I ate numerous of those. Go in the bathroom. They decided to wallpaper the men's room in Playboy centerfolds. So that's interesting. But we haven't even gotten to the best part. That's the beer garden. Jesse, what's the beer garden all about?
It's kind of a hodgepodge of, I don't know, basketball half court.
Yep.
Meets sand from the horseshoe pit.
Right.
Meets a homemade miniature golf course. Meets giant piles of rebar.
Because they basically, this house was built next to a giant retaining wall. I'm guessing the retaining wall was built after the house. So they were like, why don't we just turn the retaining wall into a beer garden?
That's true. They made hay while the sun shone.
So they built a fence out of cinder blocks, and then all of the stuff they didn't use, they just left in a pile. A
giant pile that stray cats live in.
And then
they poop in the horseshoe.
Exactly. And you might have heard that there's a mini golf course, but it's actually just like this weird concrete sculpture with a bunch of holes in it.
Mm-hmm. And like PVC pipe.
Yeah, PVC pipe. And it's find a putter, find a ball.
Don't worry, it's conveniently located in the giant pile of rusty rebar.
Exactly. or you can shoot a flat basketball through the hoop.
Yep, that's always fun too.
So if you're gonna get drunk anywhere in Bremerton, this was the place. Unfortunately, they had tax evasion and they had to shut down.
That would have been such a good episode of Bar Rescue.
Oh God,
it would have been so good.
Yes. And it had good lore. Like, apparently the house was a brothel at one point. It was like some 100-year-old house. I don't know.
So is that what you would go with?
Well, all I'm saying from there is that I appreciate a dive bar.
Buy that and reopen it as a speakeasy.
Yeah. Well, that's...
And then the legend continues.
Well, those are some other things. Like, I love a good speakeasy. Mm-hmm. There's some cool speakeasies here in Seattle where you have to, like, go into a bar and, like, pick up a phone and then give them your name and then they like call you in like an hour and then you go up inside.
Right.
It's cool stuff.
Yeah.
I like.
Well, speaking of speakeasies,
yeah,
as it were, the reason I'm in Bremerton this week is because Tasha, my fiance, is taking a distilling class in Gig Harbor.
Yeah.
So, you know, Bremerton's located halfway between Port Townsend and Gig Harbor. Again, with the Kitsap Peninsula Deep Cuts Geography Edition.
Yeah.
But so, like, I've been thinking a lot about opening a distillery and having, you know, a tasting room.
Yeah.
Tasting rooms have limited size, limited number of patrons can be in them by their nature. So right. I was like, well, then you could make it a speakeasy because you can't have that many people anyway.
Exactly.
Focus on it, making it like cool and secretive and stuff. And this was my idea for a speakeasy. 1920s, you know, that's the Prohibition era, the high days of speakeasies, but a little played out.
Yeah.
My idea is like 1941 French Resistance.
Oh, I like it.
And the whole theme is you're invited to this like lounge area for the French Resistance, and each room would, like, there'd be like three rooms, and each one is thematically, like, highlights a different Allied power. There'd be like the English room, the American room, and the Russian room.
Uh-huh.
And then like all your drink cocktails.
Don't forget the Canadian room. I know it's part of the British Empire, but they deserve their own room.
Don't worry, that'll be a bathroom.
Okay. Proceed.
And then like all your mixed drinks could be like thematically based off of the Allied powers, like vodka based stuff could be like, you know, the crazy Russian or like based off of tank names or like the Molotov cocktail or something.
Oh, the Molotov cocktail. Come on. That writes itself.
Anyway, that's one of the bar ideas I've been having lately.
I love it. I, you know, I think that there has to be like a main bar that's like a French bar though.
Yeah, no, the whole thing encompassing would be, like, French, but each one would just have, like, each of these, like, private, well,
I just love the idea of having separate rooms, and in order to get a certain drink, you need to be in a certain room.
Oh, I like that, too. Then you'd have to hire three extra bartenders, so.
Well, what are you going to do?
Or one could just run over.
I also love the idea of having, like, a password drink. So in order to order a certain drink, you need to know the password.
Oh, that's pretty interesting. Yeah.
Also, finally, mounted animal heads. Another thing that you could think about would be, you know, one of the cool crazes that's going on here in Seattle is indoor sports. So, like, they just opened Von Trapp's in Capitol Hill, and it's got indoor bocce ball courts.
Oh.
And, like, darts, shuffle puck. Shuffle puck's great to have in a bar.
I've never heard it called shuffle puck before.
You haven't?
No. I've only heard it as shuffleboard.
Well, shuffleboard is like a game you play on a cruise ship with old people.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense. I've just never heard it that way before.
I always call it a shuffle puck.
I love it. That's such a fun game.
What indoor sport would be in your bar?
Well, it maybe not in the French Resistance one. Let's see. What indoor sports?
I like indoor croquet, personally.
But
you have to have your own croquet area.
What about badminton?
Oh, God, I love it. I love it.
Beer in hand badminton.
Also, I just love the idea of entertainment sport. So I don't think anything could beat like a little sumo mat in the middle.
Yeah, that could turn ugly.
Well, this isn't for the patrons. This is just for entertainment.
Oh, yeah, professional sumo guys come in?
Professional sumo guys come in.
Oh, the sumo bar would be awesome.
Yeah, sumo bar would be incredible. And then if
you had a kitchen, you could highlight like super high calorie foods.
Exactly. Oh, yeah.
Nothing on the menu under 2,000 calories.
And between the fights, you get two people up there in those inflatable sumo outfits.
Uh-huh.
And then they get to go at it.
Yeah, and then you can do brackets.
Or just, why even have that? Just go straight for the inflatable sumo outfits. You don't need the actual sumo wrestlers.
No, I think that's a big draw.
Oh, it is?
Yeah, okay. having the real guys.
All right, well, then you got to have sushi.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, I think we fleshed this idea out.
Mm-hmm, I agree.
So,
moral of the story, Bar Rescue on Spike's a pretty good show, and you can watch a bunch of episodes on Spike.com.
Do it. All right, well, we're going to move on to our first break, but before we do, we did get an email, and I forgot to talk about it, but it's from a lady listener, and, you know, one of the things we've never gotten, like, we have great lady listeners. We have Aaron Pittman, who wrote us this email. We have Christy Johnson, who likes every single one of our posts that we ever post on Personal Arrogance on our Facebook page. We have Angela Martinez, who almost got her brothers to come and hang out with us in Colorado. We've got great lady lady fans. And we'd love to hear from you. We haven't gotten a phone call from a lady yet, so you could be the Susan B. Anthony of this podcast and actually call in, which would be awesome. But Erin did write us an email. She says, "Hi, gents. I'm enjoying last week's podcast whilst working today and just noticed Jesse referred to his lady as his fiance," which you also just did, Jesse.
I know.
"Is this new? And if so or not, maybe I just missed the news." It's relatively new.
It's pretty, I don't know. It's like 4 months old, 5 months old at this point.
Well, it's whatever.
It's relatively new. I find fiance to be a weird word
it's
to
so
say.
It's so weird to say.
Fiance.
Yeah, that's why you only have to say it for like a little while.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, thank you. I'm very happy. And we actually did just get the ring. So now it's official.
Yeah, we did that too. We got engaged and we got the ring later.
Yeah.
But she says, "Either way, I just wanted to say congratulations. As a girl nerd who is also engaged, I really enjoy listening to Eric talk about some of his wedding planning stuff from a guy's perspective and found the bachelor party talk hilarious and sweet. Have a great rest of your week, and I look forward to the next cast." So, Aaron, thank you so much for writing in. And congratulations on your engagement.
Right.
I hope you have a great nerd wedding.
Mm-hmm.
I can guarantee, and Jesse, I feel a lot of pressure because I don't think anybody's going to have a better best man speech than you had. But
well, I had a lot of time to think about it in a job that was pretty monotonous. So it was up in the noggin, kicking around a lot.
Well, it was a good one.
Thanks.
I
enjoyed giving it.
Thank you. All right. Well, let's move on to some trivia. I got World Domination back out. This is our weird Australian trivia game that Brad Oman got us. It is cool. And it is weird. So I'm going to roll a six-sided die to see which continent we're going to do. And it's a one, which means, Jesse, you better win because it's Australia.
Oh, number one continent.
All right. Jesse, do you want to go first or second?
I'll go first.
Okay. What kind of soul will Australians keep if invaded, according to Advance Australia Fair.
What kind of soul?
Soul, S-O-U-L.
Will they keep if Australia's invaded?
Right, according to Advance Australia Fair.
Advance? That's such a weird question. What kind of soul? True blue.
I'm going to go with strong. A British soul.
Oh, that must be some expression.
I think it's in their national anthem. Isn't that their national anthem?
I choose to only recognize Waltzing Matilda.
Well, that makes sense. Wouldn't we all? This question's for me. Who scored a huge Australian hit in 1975 with Girls on the Avenue? I'm going to go with who's that lady from Greece? Not John Travolta, but Olivia Newton-John.
Not John Travolta.
Not John Travolta. Olivia Newton-John. What are you going to say, Jesse?
The Eurythmics?
Richard Clapton. We are knocking it out of the park this week with Australian trivia. Jesse, this one's for you. What is Shane Warne's middle name?
Oh. I should get bonus credit for just even knowing who he is.
Who is he?
He's a cricketer.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. Shane McCain. Just like this podcaster's middle name.
I'm going to say John. Keith!
Yeah, that's a pretty Australian name.
All right. This one's for me. If I get it, I win. Which Australian movie is reputedly based on the Anita Cobby murder? I'm going to go with Kangaroos and Wallaboos.
Let's just go with Mad Max.
It's The Boys.
The nice.
Boys.
Over all right. Four.
That means it's general knowledge time. We're going to do a general knowledge question. And Jesse, you get to talk first. It's a general knowledge question. Who's ever closest to the answer wins. And we'll figure out who's closest to the answer after we ask it. What is the largest animal on Earth?
Is that the blue whale?
I'm going to go with the whale shark. And you got it. The blue whale, Jesse, you win. Congratulations. What a great week for trivia. So, Jesse, you won the roll-off, but you deferred to me. Does that mean I get the second topic?
Yeah, why don't you go ahead with it?
All right. Well, this week we do have a special guest on the cast. I'm bringing him in all the way from Austin, Texas, via Olympia, Washington.
Guest.
Here we are with our South by Southwest correspondent, Mitch Netzer. Mitch, how you doing?
Pretty good, Eric. Jesse, how you guys doing?
Great. Well, excellent. Well,
awesome.
So we have a tradition here on the Personal Arrogance podcast of whenever we go to our favorite convention. I know, Mitch, this is probably your favorite convention as well, PAX.
Every year.
Yeah, of course. Every year we do the PAXies, which are the Personal Arrogance Exposition Experience Awards. But, you know, those, the PAXies are not just for PAX. They're for any experience that an arrogant may have. And Mitch, I've known you for a long time. This is your first time on the show. So congratulations for that.
I've called in before.
You have called in. That's true. But since you went to South by Southwest this year, we thought it'd be nice to have you on the show and maybe we'll do a little PAXies for South by Southwest. So first off, like, just can you just paint us a picture of what South by Southwest is like? And, like, you know, is it's not really an expo. It's more of a get together. What exactly is it?
So South by Southwest is about 3 weeks long. They have the interactive conference and then they have the film festival, that kind of runs into the back end of the interactive. And then at the end of the interactive, the, music festival starts. So there's kind of three portions to it.
Right.
And you kind of buy your ticket for each section. But what happens is you have all kinds of sessions and keynote speakers, and there's the show floor where you can go see all the different kinds of new tech or software coming out.
Okay.
And just talk with people. So it all takes place at the Austin Convention Center.
Oh.
And around it, actually, too.
So it basically is a convention. It's like panels and expo hall.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Definitely.
So, and then are there parties and stuff?
There are parties.
What are the should we talk about what the best thing was before we talk about the parties?
Yeah, we can go into those.
Okay,
first.
So what's the best thing at South by South? And you went to the interactive conference.
Yeah, I went to the interactive conference. You can get into some of the film stuff, but generally it's just all the interactive stuff, which is just online content and all that kind of good stuff. Social networking, marketing, all that.
Google Chat.
Yes, Google Chat.
So what was the best thing at the interactive conference?
So other than the fact that it didn't rain the whole time, I'm from the Seattle area too, and I left, it was raining. I came back, it was raining. Right. It rained once while I was down there, but otherwise it was like perfect sunny and 70.
Nice.
Other than that, like feeling like I'm living in Hawaii.
That's a desert.
There...
You're technically in the desert.
True.
Okay.
Well, you know.
But other than that.
But just the atmosphere with everyone there. It's it's a really different place to go. Because, I mean, you go to PAX, you go to Comic-Cons and things like that. You have just that one thing in common with everyone, either video games or comics. But this is just general geekery and nerdom all around. So it's, you can connect with people on a whole new level and actually multiple levels, really. Like while you're just sitting in line, when you're just eating lunch or whatever, everyone's just wanting to talk about general geeky subjects, which is just, it's just awesome.
And there are parties.
And there are parties. Yes.
So what are the parties like?
So I could go into a little bit of a story here, but.
Do it. Go into a story. Tell a story, Mitchell.
Are you guys familiar with Gary Vaynerchuk?
Paint a picture for us.
So he's this wine connoisseur guy. He started, inherited his family's wine business or something like that. And he turned it into like a small mom and pop shop to like a huge international multi-million-dollar business using social media and online marketing. So he's a pretty big guy when it comes to like online marketing. Like he's everyone's hero there.
Okay.
So he hosts a party once a year. And you have no idea what day it's going to be. And the day of, he'll tweet it out, say, okay, the party's tonight. And then as the time gets closer, everyone's like, all right, we gotta prep for Gary's party tonight.
Right.
And as time gets closer, it's like an hour or two out, he'll be like, all right, party is going to be around 11:30. You're like, all right, we got 2 hours to wait. So we should probably get downtown and wrap up anything we're done. And he'll go, all right, party is on 6th Street. You're like, all right, so we'll go to 6th. And I mean, there's like 100 bars on 6th Street. It's insane. And then like a half hour before, he goes, all right, it's going to be near 6th and Congress. That's what he said this year. So you're just like following him on Twitter. That's the only way you can do this.
And there's like a slowly amassing this group of people.
Yeah, you can see like a group of like people. Because I mean, only like 500 to 1,000 can get into this party.
Yeah. Well, so Jesse can get in, I promise.
Oh, yeah.
This is basically just our strategy for PAX, except minus the tweeting. Like, we just find the group of people congregating somewhere, and then we kind of stand around, and then Jesse sweet talks his way in.
Exactly. You got to follow the crowd.
Yeah.
So it's, imagine it like, you know, the penguin documentary, whatever it was, where just all the penguins are just congregating.
Right. A Happy Feet?
Only most of them are drunk. So.
Yeah, Happy Feet.
Yeah, exactly. So, and then he'll be like, all right, so it's actually going to happen at midnight, not 11:30. So
bait and switch.
Come on. Yeah, so.
And it's actually going to happen tomorrow.
Yeah, and the whole time he's tweeting like, oh, we can't find a place to have this. We can't, everything's falling through. And he's just messing with you the whole time.
Of course.
And, you know, just teasing you. And then finally he goes, all right, it's going to be announced at midnight. And so everyone's just refreshing and our phones are going to die. So we're like in a bar in the back, plugged into the wall. And just refreshing Twitter, just like true geeks should, you know, not even drinking in this bar at this point. Cause we're trying to reserve ourselves. And
presumably all the free, it's a regular Bacchanal. It's just like the most free wine you could ever think of.
This one wasn't free wine.
Oh,
like out of all the parties that had free alcohol there and were just wide open bar, wide open food, just people coming around with trays. This one didn't have free booze.
You know how he became a successful wine salesman?
How?
It wasn't by giving away a bunch of free wine.
Thank you, Jesse.
Yeah, go on.
So he finally is like, all right, it's going to be at this bar called My Place. And it's at this address. And he tweets out the address. And uh-huh. we're like, oh, crap. We're standing out front of this bar. And we're looking around up and down the street. And I just look up. And it's right in front of us across the street. And just out of my peripheral vision, all you can see is just like herds of people sprinting with their phones out.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so we join in, we sprint right up to the front. We get in like first 20.
Gentlemen, elbows out.
Yeah, exactly. So we're all in there. And the bar's already full because people are in there. They had no idea that that's where the party was going to be. Uh-huh. So the bar's already full by the time, you know, we're front 20. So we're waiting out there. We have to wait like 5, maybe 10 minutes by the time 20 people trickle out.
Right.
And so we get in there and we'd been hanging out the whole night. And we had been to the, you know, at the free booze parties and stuff. And this was just insane. Like two DJs spinning back and forth. The CEO of Zappos was there.
Oh.
Couple other big guys.
Is he just
were there.
Throwing shoes at people?
He was in the balcony. I was wishing he was going to throw shoes.
That would be awesome.
Just tagging people.
And it was like George Bush in
Iraq. Yeah. He watched that video. He got his form down.
Just practicing.
I mean, it would be like a cool game if like you throws the shoes out, but they're not in boxes or anything, and then you have to pair up your shoe.
Yeah, you just gotta hope you find the second
it's like, it's like a weird key party. Anyway.
I love it.
Anyway, so
that's
pretty
who you go home with that night, whoever finds your other shoes.
Exactly. So. Yeah, you tie the laces together, you throw them over a phone wire, and then and then have a good night.
That's the type of person I'm interested in. Someone with exactly the same size feet as
me. Exactly. It's very practical.
It works. So everyone went home that night.
Everyone did go home that night.
And apparently Ashton Kutcher was there. I have no idea. So I don't know. It was a crazy night. We ended up at a bar where there was a dancing robot.
Was it a real robot?
No, it was a cardboard box robot.
Okay.
Picture the worst cosplay robot you've ever seen at PAX.
I saw that on your Twitter, I think.
Yes, that's what it was. So it was a pretty intense night. I mean, there's other nights like where there's like the Cloud Lounge that's sponsored and they'll do free booze all night. And you got to RSVP before you're even in at South by Southwest.
Right.
And then you get to stand in line and hope that you get in.
Yeah, like a PAX party.
Yeah, so...
So this sounds like, it just does sound awesome. I mean, it sounds really, really cool, but it also sounds pretty like, hipsterish.
Yeah.
So I think that's kind of the rep that South by Southwest gets is that it's pretty hipster.
Yeah. So going into the worst thing about South by Southwest.
Okay. Perfect segue.
Just hipsters everywhere.
Uh-huh.
I've never seen so many horn rim glasses. Just amassed in one single area.
Now, there's a Drew Carey convention that week also.
Yeah.
So,
whose line is it anyway, Con?
Whose Con is it anyway?
Yeah.
That really is, you know, it starts off with the interactive conference. A lot of people, I went there for my work, actually, and a lot of people with the interactive conference are there for work.
Uh-huh.
But as time goes on, the film festival starts up, and then like the last day or two, it's, you know, gearing up for the music fest. And that's when it just goes full swing hipster. And you're walking down Sixth, then it turns from a, you know, a classy party street to just like pot smoke everywhere.
So does Denver any night of the week.
So does my workplace.
Well. It's, you know, I guess it's a small price to pay. I'm not saying hipsters are terrible. I'm just saying, like, you know those 20 people who trickled out of the bar so that you could get in? Those were the hipsters because they had already been to the party.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We're definitely late to the party there.
Totally. So. You're on time. You're 3 days late.
So I know that I'm not a hipster, so that's good, I guess.
Yeah. Well, you are rocking a V-neck right now. I can see you on the Skype.
Oh, my video's on.
No, I could see a straight shot.
Okay.
Never mind. I've just been staring into your non-horn-rimmed framed eyes. So what was the weirdest thing from South by Southwest 2013?
So weirdest thing is that nothing took me by surprise. Usually, like, you know, I followed South by Southwest the entire time, you know, on Twitter, and, you know, I'm reading it off Mashable and these blogs, and like just stuff blowing my mind, you know, like Twitter was launched here.
Yeah.
And
did I see you get a picture with the founder of Twitter?
No, founder of Dig.
Founder of Dig. Sorry. Kevin Rose. I mean, that's cool.
Yeah. So that was cool. You meet a lot of cool people there.
You were very close to Totally Rad Show.
Well, hey.
Oh, you met those guys too.
I got my picture with Alex Albrecht of the Totally Rad Show too. So
wow.
I have Dig Nation complete.
There you go.
So
achievement unlocked. But frankly, nothing really surprising.
Nothing. Yeah, that was the weirdest thing. You know, yeah. you go to this huge conference and it's about I think 20,000 people, 20 or 30,000 people is the interactive conference. So it's pretty good size, but you know, nothing there that really you see the new tech hitting the market and you're just like, wow, this is blowing my mind. And
right.
There's none of that really. I went to the Google Glass demonstration.
Uh-huh.
You know, with the glasses that you wear, and it does like the
yeah, it records everything you see.
Yeah, it's you know, super creeper.
Yep.
But even that was just
it's Reddit's wet dream.
Exactly. So post to Reddit, yeah.
Right.
Glass, post to Reddit. So but even that was just like, well, it's you know, it's cool augmented reality, but my iPhone does that right now. Except for I'd be wearing it on my face. So
yeah, do you really want to wear your iPhone on your face? You basically wear it on your hand all the time.
Yeah, anyway. That's true. So it's not like I really need it. Right. So it's a hands-free iPhone is what it is.
Oh. Well, but doesn't it also like, I was under the impression like if you wanted to look for some, if you like looked at a building, like this is ridiculous. But if you looked at the Space Needle and you were like, Google Glass, Space Needle, or like it would like look at the Space Needle and know to bring up stats on the Space Needle or something.
So they kind of showed that.
Yeah.
And it was kind of wonky, like, because they're trying to show it on a screen, but they can't show like live video feed. So they're just showing the pop-ups over black video.
Cool.
So it was a little lame, but you know, that's the best they could do apparently. You know, that's the best Google can do, but, they didn't really go into much of that. They kind of touted it as this demonstration, and then you go in there and they just talked about the API, you know, for developing software for it. So people can, you know, Twitter could make a app for it. So you could post to Twitter or whatever.
Don't worry. They probably already have.
Yeah. No kidding. So.
Yeah. So it's basically a Bluetooth for your face.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. So finally, there's got to be swag. What was the best swag at South by Southwest?
So, Getty Images was there, an iStock photo, I think, together, and they were this is second. They were cool. They were printing off these big 13x19, really high end photos that you could print from their site.
Uh-huh.
Just pick one photo and print it.
Ooh.
That was cool. But the thing, this is really stupid. The thing I was most excited about was this piece. It slips onto the end of your iPhone over the speakers.
Uh-huh.
And it's got like a trumpet piece. That comes out.
I've seen those. Yeah.
And it amplifies the sound and it does a really good job.
Yeah, it works great.
And it also works as a kickstand. I was super pumped about this stupid thing.
And they look like Dr. Seuss, like, did plastic surgery on your phone.
Exactly. Yeah. It's just like this ginormous, like blue, like silicon thing. But
we won't go there.
Yeah, let's just leave it there.
Well, thank you, Mitch. Thank you. So, for wrap up, best thing at South by Southwest was the people. Worst thing was the hipsters, who were technically part of the people, but we won't hold that against you.
I know it's ironic.
It is. It is. Oh my God. and then weirdest thing was that nothing was cool, and then. Best swag was a cool trumpet thing, which is also ironic.
I feel like I really sold South by Southwest to people.
I think you did, Mitch. So why don't you sell some other stuff? Where can people get hear your voice and see your tweets?
So you can find me on Twitter at Mitch Netzer.
Uh-huh.
And you can find my podcast. I do a podcast about solely about comic books at comics_sans.
Right.
And you can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/thecomicssans.
And you can find you on iTunes, right?
And you can find us on iTunes there, so.
And if you like comic books, so it's basically, it's you're new to comic books, but you got people on there who are super, like.
Yeah, so we come at it from kind of three different perspectives. I'm kind of the noob with comics. I've been reading for just about a year. And Then I have, there's another buddy, Mike, who has been reading for a while, kind of an enthusiast. And then we have Sam, who's been reading for quite a while and works at a comic shop, and he's kind of our lore master. So,
well, there you go. Everybody needs
the lore. I have a comics question, Mitch.
Okay.
What's a good way to price comic books?
Price
comics? Find out their value.
Best way I do it is eBay.
Okay, what if you did that and couldn't find the edition of the comic book you were looking for?
A good website, rule of thumb, is comicbookresources.com.
All right.
And then there's also Mile High Comics. They sell a lot of comics.
Okay, I'll check that out. I was cleaning out some of my gear and found a comic book that I think might be worth something.
Ooh.
It's the first printing of Marvel Zombies number one.
Oh, it's not worth anything. You can just send it my way.
Okay. Well, I just threw it in the fireplace because he said that.
Yeah.
Okay, well, keep you warm.
Jesse keeps a roaring fire next to him at all times and is constantly looking for fuel.
You got to keep a baby gator on that thing.
All right. Well, Mitchell, thank you so much for being a part of the cast. It's good to talk to you. And thanks for giving us a scoop on South by Southwest 2013. This has been the Paxies for SXXX 13.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you. Well, that's Mitch. Isn't he a nice guy?
Funny. Funny stuff.
Funny stuff. All right, Jesse, what's your second topic?
Keeping with the theme that I've been throwing out there of being a booze hound, mm-hmm. I want to talk about a fun game.
Here we go.
Finish him. This is a game for the iPad and iPod, I think, also.
Okay. iOS.
iOS. And it's called Nimble Strong Bartender in Training.
Ooh.
And it's the most useful game that I think I've ever played on an iOS device.
Why is it useful?
Well, here's the premise. You're Nimble Strong.
Okay.
And you're going to open up a bar with your best friend. Uh-huh. And your girlfriend. And then, oh no, you find out they've been cheating.
Oh,
or she's been cheating on you.
With your best friend?
Yeah.
What a loux.
So this means you're out of that bar opening plan.
Mm-hmm.
And you start bartending at this legendary bar where, like, cocktails are king.
Okay.
But you don't know anything, so you're gonna learn how to bartend on the job.
Okay.
So the customers come in and you have, like, this mentor. And basically, anytime someone places an order for a new style of drink, they teach you how to make it.
Okay.
And you have, like, you start with your glass, and you always fill that up with ice. And then you have, like, your liquor cabinet, your mixer cabinet, your garnishes, and your tools.
Uh-huh.
And it's a rhythm-based game. So
The
order comes up, and you're, like, using the rhythm to accurately measure out ingredients.
Right.
And then depending on what it is, you'll use different tools like a shaker or like a muddler to like grind up the mint or whatever for a mojito and then serve it. And you're trying to do as fast as you can and get all your pours accurate.
That's cool. I like rhythm games, Jesse, but you're not a big fan of rhythm games.
See, I mean, the rhythm aspect is totally suited thematically for this because it's all about getting your pours right. So it's about like... Uh-huh. Not adding too much of this ingredient because it'll screw up the flavor, you know?
Okay.
So in that aspect, I really appreciate the rhythm element to it.
Yeah. Because, I mean, in a game like Rock Band, the rhythm element really doesn't fit with the theme at all.
Shut up. I just don't enjoy those games very much.
Okay.
But, I mean, this is lighthearted. It's fun. Like, the style is like Japanese role-playing game, which gets a little tiresome.
Uh-huh.
But, you're actually learning these drink recipes. And as you get better at the game, you, unlike something like Rock Band where you don't actually get better at guitar, you are getting better at your mixology and memorizing, the drinks because like you have like your little recipe guide, but the clock's still ticking while you look at it. And right. if you have to look at it too many times, then you're going to run out of time and remake the drink. So you're trying to like commit these recipes to memory, and they're telling you like a little bit of history behind the different cocktails. And sometimes you have to make like two at once, but uh-huh. they'll have like similar ingredients.
Yeah.
So, but you know, there'll be two different drinks with similar ingredients. So you're touching both of them at the same time to like save time.
And, oh, that makes a lot of sense.
It's a lot of fun. It's got a cool, and then, there's a, you get like in-game tips based off of, how well you did.
Ooh.
And you get graded on how well you do make the drink. And, you're penalized for like being too slow or for, over pouring or under pouring certain ingredients. Or sometimes you just can straight fail. Like if you add the wrong ingredient, you're like, no good. Start over.
Fired.
Yeah.
So do you actually get to work up to building your own bar?
No, I don't think it gets to that, but where
I would
it
think
does...
that like your best friend and your girlfriend would then go start their own bar, and then you eventually have to work your way up to crush them.
Oh, well, that could be. I don't know. I'm not that advanced in it.
Okay.
But outside of the game, it has like a recipe book where you can unlock the recipes with the in-game money you've earned from playing the game.
Oh, that's really cool.
Yeah. And then, there's a survival mode, which is like a mini game mode where you don't have a recipe to anything. It's all based off of your knowledge, and they just throw these random drinks at you, and you have to see how many of them in a row you can make without screwing up.
Yeah. It's basically horde mode.
Yeah. Exactly.
Horde. Ladies and gentlemen, horde mode.
Get your mind out of the gutter.
Get your mind out of the gutter.
And, yeah, it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of useful. And it's a fun way to learn some new drinks. I actually applied it to real life and made a drink from the game, and it turned out really well.
Wow, that is awesome.
Yeah. And, like, this one involved egg white.
What?
Yeah, I made, like, a gin fizz. So, like, I took a glass. Oh. I put ice in it. I poured in – or not gin. It was rum. I poured in 2 ounces of rum. A splash of lime juice, and then took an egg and strained the white from the yolk.
Right.
Add just a splash of that, because the next step is you mix it up in a martini shaker, and that causes like the egg white to foam up, so it gives it a little bit of frothiness and like texture in your mouth.
Wow.
And then you top it off with club soda, and it was really good.
That is really cool. What's the name of this game again?
It's Nimble Strong Bartender in Training.
Does it cost money?
Yeah, it's like $3 or $4.
$4.
But yeah, not worth it.
I only buy $60 games.
Totally worth it. I had a lot of fun. And like, if you're trying to learn a little bit about making cocktails, it's a good place to start.
Yeah. And if you get an Ouya, you'd be able to play it on there.
Right.
That is a possibility. You know, when you think about this, like, you know, gamification is a very hot topic today in the corporate world. It's like, well, everybody's doing gamification. We got to figure out how to gamify. But like, this is a very practical way. Like, if you were studying to be a bartender, mm-hmm. this would be a good practice.
Yeah, I thought about this while I was watching Bar Rescue. Like, a lot of these bartenders don't know anything about making drinks, and someone will be like, come up and be like, yeah, I want an old fashioned. And the bartender's like, I don't know how to make that. And this is like a veteran bartender with like 4 years experience. It's like, if you had this game on an iPad and was just like, in the downtime, you can play this game on the iPad.
How great
it's
would
fun.
That be if your boss was just like, in your downtime, just play this game?
Yeah. It'd be cool. And then the survival mode, like, tracks, you know, how many drinks in a row you can make. You can make it a challenge between the bartenders, you know?
Yeah. Whoever, whoever has the highest score this month on survival mode gets a extra bonus.
Yeah. Something like that. All the other bartenders' tips.
Like, and this could also apply to, like, the real, like, this could apply to other areas. Like, the thing that I think about is, like, if you could create a game that was about fixing a car.
Like, yeah,
and I'm not saying that this is the way you would train people to fix a car, but
not
it's a
mechanic, but a layman,
right? Oh yeah, a layman would be great. Yeah. That would be really good. Like, but even a mechanic, like if you're in mechanic school, you're going through school. Oh, and in your downtime, I need you to play at least 2 hours of the car fixing game, which is the same thing.
The game makes it fun for you.
Yeah, and then you internalize it. Like, I know a lot of things. Like, I know in Halo how to, if I get plasma grenades, how to switch to plasma grenades.
Right.
And I know how close I need to be to somebody in order to throw them, in order to stick them to them. Mm-hmm. Like, I have a strategy built around plasma grenades. I also have a strategy built around shotguns, or if I get a rocket launcher.
Right.
Or whatever gun in the game, if I'm rolling around in a scorpion, I know what to do. Like, if you could actually use that practical knowledge in a, if you could use that knowledge in a practical way, then you're actually being a productive human being in some way.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It's a good way to teach yourself a little skill, and like knowing a little bit about mixed drinks goes a long way in a social setting.
Totally. And even if you were, so say you like worked at McDonald's, like McDonald's should make a game where you have to make sandwiches. Or like Subway would be perfect.
Yeah, Subway.
Like Subway is
McDonald's one would be depressing.
McDonald's would be super depressing. But you could also learn how to like manage a drive-thru and like blah, blah, blah.
Uh-huh.
But Subway would be perfect. Like Subway should make a game for their employees where they're like, this is how you make a sandwich. And then you go on survival mode and it's like, oh, I want a mustard sandwich with extra jalapenos. Bing, bang, boom, you take it too long.
The name says it all.
Yeah. That's actually the name.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. I really enjoy it.
Cool. One more time, the name of the game.
Nimble Strong, Nimble Bartender Strong. In Training.
And I guess that's an early Recco.
Yeah, it's a Recco and a topic.
So speaking of Reccos, we're going to get to Reccos in just one second. But before we do, we got to do a little bit of housekeeping. First up is our Facebook Roundup. Each week we post on our Facebook page asking you what you want us to talk about on that week's cast. This week we got a bunch of stuff. Mitch Netzer, who you might recognize from this week's show, says, I want more science talk. Do it now. Well, Mitch, we already talked about, we actually bumped the science talk so that we could talk about South by Southwest. So really, it's your fault.
Yeah.
Jacob DeForest.
Take a good look in the mirror, Mitch.
Yeah. Jacob DeForest says, Seattle Seahawks trade for Percy Harvin. We cover that. News from South by Southwest. God, we're really covering all this stuff last. So I wanted to talk about South by Southwest. We did that too. John O'Brien, our good friend from New England, says, Cool Ranch Doritos Taco. Jesse, your thoughts?
Well, okay. So I've had the original Tacos Loco Taco.
Yep.
I
know what you're saying.
I've had it twice.
Okay.
The first time I had it in the restaurant.
Okay.
It was in SeaTac.
Uh-huh.
And, I loved it. It was awesome.
Okay.
Second time I had it, it was in Boulder, Colorado, and I got it from drive-thru and ate it at home.
Yeah.
Or at Levi's. And it was not so good. It was kind of soggy.
So you need it fresh.
I think you need to eat it on site, and I haven't had the ambition to go post up at Taco Bell yet.
Yeah.
To try the new Cool Ranch.
Well, the Cool Ranch is... I don't know. I mean, they're marketing it like everybody was asking for the Cool Ranch. But, like, I would expect maybe the Cool Ranch and Taco Bell and KFC are owned by the same place. Maybe a Cool Ranch chicken sandwich. Then I could do that.
Yes, I not agree more, actually. Yeah, I mean...
Like, I don't need a Cool Ranch taco. I need a Cool Ranch chicken sandwich.
I'm not really a Cool Ranch guy.
Yeah.
I'm a standard to lame ranch.
I like... I like my Cool Ranch on a chicken. I like ranch on a chicken finger.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Who does it?
I'm sorry, standard delayed ranch. That is really funny. All right. Anyway, more Facebook roundup. John O'Brien also asks, Jesse, can you give us progress on your meat bioreactor?
Yeah, so far it only makes Cool Ranch Doritos tacos.
Wow. It's a start.
Yeah.
James
Working
Patterson.
On the original recipe.
James Patterson says, it's been a while since we've assessed if things are better or worse than getting punched in the face. Jesse, I think that ball's in your court.
Yeah, maybe next week. I actually got some stuff to complain about.
All right. We'll just tuck that away in the old cap.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally, Mark Giddens says, recommend a good blog reader app since Google Reader is going away. And get off my back, Mark, get off my back.
I would go to netvibes.com/en or feedly.com or theoldreader.com, maybe feedafever.com, bloglines.com, or possibly rssowl.org.
Jesse, it's so amazing that you have all those right off the top of your head.
That's why I'm in this business.
When I think of somebody to talk to about RSS feed readers, mm-hmm. you're the first name that comes to mind.
Mm-hmm. You're a feeder.
You're pretty much the first name that comes to mind for every topic, but definitely that one.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's why they call me a top.
So that's our Facebook. Exactly.
Fan.
So that's our Facebook roundup for this week. And we want to remind you where you can get in touch with us. Please write us an email, personalarrogance@gmail.com. We'll read it on the cast. We love to get those. We love to get voicemails. Like I said, the first woman pioneer. We've never had a woman call into the cast before. If you are a lady listener, please call in 360-362-0024. Even if you're not a lady, we'll still play your voicemail on the cast. And you can also go to our Facebook page and like us. We have our Bald Move Facebook page. We also have the Personal Arrogance Facebook page. I haven't done this in a while, but I want to recognize all of the people who have liked us in recent memory. Starting off with Kenneth Brooks, Sam, you're going to make me say your last name, Golmo Hamadi, Paul Warren, Beth Ann, Mike Kolsworski, Mark Crone, Ryan Young, Kevin Freeman, Shelley Fisk, Derek Romaine, Tim Treader, Josh Perigo, and I think that pretty much covers everybody's liked us in recent memory. Thank you so much for liking us. You can like us there. Please check out baldmove.com, guys. There is so much great stuff at baldmove.com. Okay? Not only do you have Personal Arrogance Podcast, not only do you have Walking Dead, which is back, not only do you have Game of Thrones, which is coming back, here in March, this month, we'll have the new Night's Watch podcast around Game of Thrones. Not only do you have the Ladies of the Because show down from SoCal, not only do you have the Bald Move TV podcast, but you also have Up Yours Downstairs, which even though Downton Abbey isn't even happening right now, they're still podcasting about it. Guys, there's tons of shit there. It's awesome, okay? And you can go to baldmove.com/contest and you can win a Kindle Fire HD. If you don't know how to do that, please listen to last week's podcast. We covered it in nauseam. If you don't know how to do it after listening to last week's podcast, I'm sorry, listener. You may not be for us.
You might be a redneck.
The immortal words of Jeff Foxworthy.
Josh Foxworthy.
Josh Foxworthy, Jeff's brother.
Tully stole that bit from his brother and capitalized on it.
God damn it.
Josh never saw said.
That was my party bit, Jeff. I was the king of the party with that bit. You're just the king of redneck comedy. Anyway, go to baldmove.com. Also, we got a Twitter page, personal podcast, whatever. We got tons of ways to get in touch with us, guys. If you want to talk to us, please talk to us. We love to hear from you. I think that's about it. Jesse, what's your first reco?
Eric, my first recommendation is something that I was enjoying earlier today, and it's YouTube-centric for the listener who requested that, and that's Percy Harvin highlight videos.
Yeah, get ready.
My God, watching those kickoff returns.
Yeah.
Oh, he's such a talented player.
What I heard about on the radio today is that basically him and Marshawn Lynch are going to be the Thunder and the Lightning. Can you imagine being a defense? You're lining up and you're looking at Russell Wilson, Marshawn Lynch, and Percy Harvin.
Well, don't forget about Golden Tate, the sneaky devil.
Yeah, I know. But you got to focus on those three guys, right?
Yeah, totally.
That's all of your focus. Oh, and then you got Sidney Rice and Golden Tate running behind you.
Right.
What are you going to do? You're going to lose the Super Bowl. That's what you're going to do because the Seahawks are going to win.
Yeah, 53-0. It's going to be more like 63-0 next year.
SB bound, baby.
Arizona. We're coming for you.
Yeah, I actually feel kind of bad.
They'll probably pick up Fitzpatrick or something.
Yeah, I don't know. Give him hope. Give him Flynn. Trade Flynn. For somebody on their team.
Well, one, inter-division trades are kind of janky.
Yeah, but they happen.
Plus, Flynn, apparently, according to CBSSports.com, might not even be very tradable because of his elbow.
Well, he's also got a big contract, but I'll take Flynn for Fitzgerald straight up.
Yeah, Flynn for Fitz is good. Good for me.
Let's do it. All right, my first reco this week is going to be Comedy Bang Bang. It's on Netflix. Watch instantly the first season.
I've been avoiding this for some reason. I don't know why.
I was avoiding it too, but then my love of Reggie Watts.
Reggie Watts is great.
Reggie Watts is great, and that took me over the edge, and I'm so happy I went there.
Seattle's own.
The thing about Comedy Bang Bang, so it's a show. It's IFC produced. IFC brings you Portlandia. But it's not only IFC. It's also done through it's based off of an Earwolf podcast. Earwolf is the guys who not only bring you the Comedy Bang Bang podcast, but they bring you How Did This Get Made? They also bring you Nerd Poker and a bunch of great other great podcasts, mostly featuring members of the cast of the league. And also, it's produced by Absolutely.
Is it?
Yes.
Oh, now I'm really intrigued.
Which is the Tim and Eric production company.
Absolutely.
So it's got really strong Tim and Eric characteristics in it.
Oh, I'm sold.
It's got the, you know, I listened to the WTF with Eric, or not with Eric, but with Tim Heidecker. And he basically kind of opened up a little bit about how Tim and Eric really does draw on a lot of like nightmarish scenarios. It tries to find the humor in our nightmares. And this show really does that as well.
Interesting.
It's got a strong Tim and Eric vibe. So I'm going to reco it. Not to mention they got great stars. Like, first one is Zach Galifianakis. Second one's Amy Poehler. Third one's John Hamm. And fourth one's Michael Cera. So it's got good star talent on each show. So I would recommend Comedy Bang Bang. If you got some time to kill, check it out on Netflix. Watch instantly.
All right. Well, let's wrap this up. My seco reco is Seattle Cask Beer Fest at the end of this very month.
Do it. I love Cask
Beer. If you're a beer geek in Seattle, I'm going to be there. So say hi.
Say hi to that guy.
Yeah.
And then my recommendation this week is going to be the WTF podcast with Tim Heidecker.
I'm going to have to listen to that.
Very enlightening. And
Thunder and lightning.
Thunder and lightning.
With Tim Heidecker and Marshawn Lynch.
And Percy Harvin.
A new podcast.
They're all there. So I think that's about it. Get in touch with us, guys. Thank you so much for listening this week. It's late. I gotta pee. So remember that wherever you go.
And whatever you do.
Please. Stay arrogant.